All right, welcome back to the show. It's still Hard Facts on 92.3 Nigeria Info. My name is Constance. All right, so at this hour, we'll be discussing over 400 inmates on death row at the Nigerian Correctional Service in Rivers State. We'll be looking at the implication of this. All right. And of course, joining me for this conversation is Professor Richard Nwokocha, who is a professor of law. Thank you so much for joining me on the show this evening, sir.
Thanks, Constance. Good evening, Nigerian.
All right. So the story goes that 427 inmates are on death row at the Nigerian Correctional Service in Rivers State. Now, this was actually revealed by the new controller of the command, Felix Lawrence, at his reception ceremony. Let's hear what he said.
Port Harcourt as a whole, that's the custodial center. Port Harcourt, River State, comprises of Port Harcourt Maximum Security. Port Harcourt, we have the Ahoda Custodial Center, we have the Degema Custodial Center, and we have the Farm Center at Elele. And all make up the River State Command. And as of this morning, we have 4,403 inmates. Death Row, we have 427 male. I'm 15 female.
All right, so that was the controller over there. And he also said there are plans to partner other stakeholders. I don't know if you heard the parts where he said there are over 4,000 inmates, right? Yes. So he talked about how to... So he talked about how to decongest the Port Harcourt Maximum Custodial Center as well. Let's listen to that. I don't know why I'm mixing. All right. I think I found his other voice. So let's listen to Mr. Lawrence.
The congestion committee from the office of the Attorney General and the Chief Judge of the State drew. The Attorney General of the State, in conjunction with the Chief Judge of the State and the Commissioner of Police, were the corrections. We have a kind of a joint decongestion program where judges and magistrates are drafted to the custodial center regularly, and maybe and to have a kind of check, and they even bring magistrates, judges to the custodial center, dispense justice.
Okay, so that's it. Now, when I came across the story yesterday, I had to just quickly Google to find out what exactly is this death row. How come we have over 400 people on the death row? What's so special about it? And of course, from Wikipedia, it defines death row as... it's also known as condemned row, as a place in a prison that houses inmates awaiting execution after being convicted of a capital crime and sentenced to death. And crazy enough, I found out that in the US, the longest that an inmate had stayed on death row before execution was 31 years. I saw about two people's names there. So, Professor, what is the implication of this particular news that we have over 400 inmates on death row? What's the implication to the justice system?
It confirms a worrisome development that I think I have had the privilege of discussing with your station sometime in the past. I think either last year or year before last. Somebody is not doing his work across the years. Death row inmates are not designed to be there and just populate the place. A man does not get into the death row just like that or by accident. Of course, there is the appellate process by which a case can go on up to the Supreme Court. But if all of that has been done or the person is not appealing and you just leave them there, I think it defeats the purpose of having the death row section in our correctional facilities. A person convicted of a capital offense and sentenced to capital punishment is supposed to have that punishment administered or executed. Now, our chief executive seems to have been shying away from the responsibility of finding those executions. But you can't just amass them there. That means that in the entire River State Command, we have 10% of the entire people in detention, entire people in prison custody. as death row inmates. And that is worrisome, especially these days that gay breaks are becoming near common thing in Nigeria, even in places that should be much more secure, not to think of places that are less secured. So I think it's a worrisome development, and if you do not want to carry out death sentences, then we should review our process, review our law, and take away the capital punishment. And let's know that we are keeping the DFJ as inmates to do time, either life or whatever. But it makes no sense to have a death row section in your correctional facility, and then you keep amassing them over the years without executing the law. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, but typically, how long should an inmate stay on death row?
Well, once all appeal processes have been exhausted, or appeal period has been exhausted, he is due for his punishment. His punishment is not to serve for years in that place. His conviction means that he's supposed to be executed. So there is no time frame that he should be there for this long or that long. These issues are pending because those who should sign the death warrant are not signing them for execution.
Interesting. Now, when you started off, you said it means that that the implication of this to the justice system means that someone is not doing their job. I actually want to know who and who are not doing their job, as it were. You also mentioned that the executive is supposed to have signed.
The chief executive is supposed to sign.
Okay, please just talk us through how this actually happens. Now, a person has been sentenced to death, and the person has been placed on the death row. What should be the next move?
Yes, once a prisoner gets to the death row, apart from where he has an appeal, if he has an appeal, while that appeal is pending, he remains in the facility until his appeal is exhausted. So if he takes the number of years to exhaust the appeal, assuming he appeals up to the Supreme Court, for the whole of that period, is as good as a person who is yet to be convicted, because you can't execute him while his appeal is pending. So you wait until the appeal process is concluded. Once the last appeal has been heard and the judgment is confirmed, from that day that the judgment is confirmed, he's ready for execution.
So who signs for this person to be executed?
The chief executive, the governor of the state.
All right, so how does he get to find out that someone should be executed?
There are officers who are responsible. The process, this man are handed over to those at the correctional facilities, and the appropriate officers who should have the records and who should prepare the warrant for execution and all that, and which should get to the governor. All of those officers ought to do what they're supposed to do. But when we discussed about 2 years ago, when we discussed this matter, a number of governors expressed their moral concern about signing for the execution of a person. But that morality does not arise. Nobody gets to death row unless he has made himself undeserving of staying alive in society. He has constructed himself into such state that society needs to get rid of him in the interest of the others. And it's an official act. The priest who has to pray for him before execution, it is a Christian, performs his official act, and the hangman performs his official act. It's part of the responsibility of the office, and it should be taken seriously.
Interesting. Now, with this particular development right now, I mean, over 400 of them, 427 of them, I think he actually mentioned that about 12 or so are female. So this means over the years, just like you mentioned, the governors have not been signing. So is it also possible that someone has also, the people who are supposed to transmit the paper to the governors to sign, they've not also been doing that?
I'm sure that once the situation is due, that the officers who have custody of them will do what they're supposed to do. When the topic of discussion was non-signing of warrant of execution, for persons who are on death row. When that was the topic, we encountered that situation where a lot of governors expressed moral concern, and for those moral concerns, they will not sign. And my position was, if you will not carry out the duties attached to the office, then don't go to the office. There is no morality about execution of law. Excuse me. So we might as well, for some moral concern, let all criminals roam the streets and kill as many people as they want to kill. So I think
I'm very sure that's not what we want.
And something needs to be done to get those who are populating that place, who are causing that place to remain populated, to get them to do what they should do, and then decongest the place. Get them for lesser criminals who have to do their time and come out.
Yeah. Now, of course, when someone is on death row, the person must have committed a capital crime. Or convicted
Definitely.
Of a capital crime. So can we still say with the developments right now that a sentence to death equates to justice served?
Certainly.
Even with what we have going on, people have been there for years and nobody has been killed or executed.
Nobody has been executed when they are killed according to law.
That's the thing. Yes. So if a person who committed a capital crime has been sentenced to death, can we still say that sentence equates to justice served? Looking at the fact that over the years nobody has been executed in the state.
The convention means that justice has been served. But even here too, he is entitled to justice, and he should not be kept too long where he has been convicted, and the last level of review of that conviction has taken place, keeping him, also doing him injustice. Now, I think that people do not desire to have a capital punishment as part of our punishment system, then we should review our laws and leave them for life sentence. Let's know that we are going to have them there until they expire on their own while they are there.
Yeah, based on that what you just said, so this is what I'm thinking, especially for the fact that at some point, we no longer use the word prison. We now changed it to correctional center, custodial center, whatever the words are these days. Should we still have that, sentencing people to death? Should we still have it there when, I mean, if we say we're no longer using the word prisons, then some of these things should also be scrapped?
Well, I think it's just semantics. A prison is still a prison. It's still a detention center. It's still a correctional facility. Because for those who are not on death row, those who are there to do time, part of the reasons for sentencing them is to give them opportunity to overcome their criminality and to have a second thought about their conduct and give themselves opportunity of coming out better people. That's why you have even education in that place. People in prison can pay their study, write any exam. They can register for correspondence programs and do degree programs. And they do them all around the world. So it's a correctional facility. They are there to get corrected. Society is sending them there, taking them away from society, give them time to review their situation and give themselves a second chance to come back into society better people. Those who are serious about it take advantage of it and they come out better than they went in there. Even if you don't see much of that, or the situation is not encouraging much of that. But that is the idea of a correctional facility. There are several theories of justice. Part of them is giving you a second chance, correcting you. Others is paying you for what you have done.
Okay, Professor, we'll come back to you in a bit.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, welcome back. This is Still Hard Facts on 92.3 Nigeria Info. My name is Constance. And of course, we have been discussing the implication of having over 400 inmates on death row at the Nigerian Correctional Service here in Rivers State. Of course, Professor Richard Wokocha has been discussing this with me right here on the show via telephone. Thank you so much for staying on the line, Professor.
Thank you, Constance.
All right. So before now, you said there's no particular amount of time a person should spend on death row. It's until the person has used up his or her appeals. Now, I want to find out, is death row the end of it for an inmate? Can someone get off the death row?
In the process, death row is the end of the road for a prisoner who has been convicted and whose appeal opportunities have been exhausted. There is nothing else and nowhere else to go.
Okay, this is what I want to understand, Professor, because you said when a person is on death row, and they have to, that means they still have the chance to appeal. I want to understand that better.
The appellate opportunity or opportunity for appeals has been exhausted. The person on death row is not ready for execution until his period of appealing has been exhausted.
Okay, so what is the appeal for? That's what I want to understand. What is the appeal for? If the person has been sentenced,
yeah. Is a person who is convicted for a capital crime.
Okay.
That means he is sentenced to die for a crime he committed that is of a capital nature.
So why should he still appeal?
Sentence. Well, everybody has a right of appeal. You remember that the appeal process is reserved to ensure that those who feel there are mistakes in the proceedings by which they are convicted will have opportunity to test the validity of their thinking two times at the appeal court and at the Supreme Court. So until that is exhausted, until the period of appeal elapses, the person is not yet ready for execution. That is for a person on death row. Being on death row is having been convicted by a court. A criminal offense and having been sentenced to capital punishment. That puts you on death row. If at the beginning, you have the right of appeal. If you exhaust the first one at the court of appeal and the court of appeal affirms the judgment, affirming that you should be condemned to death, you should be hanged if that's the judgment that was given or sentence that was imposed. You still have opportunity within the normal frame of time to appeal to the Supreme Court. And if that gets exhausted, then there is nothing else to do. There is nowhere else to appeal. Then you are ready for execution.
So is there a possibility of the appeal court not agreeing with the initial sentence?
Of course, there's always an opportunity. There's been several cases where those have happened. Where the appellate court finds an error in the thinking of the court below, and their processes aside, sometimes that has been done by the Supreme Court. Those cases that has been done at the Supreme Court, some have been done at the Court of Appeal level, and if the state does not appeal further, it ends there. So yes, an appeal is not just a pastime or a waste of time. An appeal process is a serious business, and where the facts are right, and the law is correctly argued and shown, the appellate court can set aside the judgment of the court below.
So that means that person will be taken off the death row?
Oh, definitely. It means that person is freed from that moment. Unless the state further appeals to the Supreme Court, assuming it's a court of appeal that sets aside the judgment of the high court. Then if the state appeals further to the Supreme Court, then the person remains until the Supreme Court gives a verdict on that. But when at the end of an appeal, which is where there is no further room for appeal, or where the person who should appeal is not interested in appealing further, the judgment is set aside. The man goes on.
Interesting. Now let's talk about decongestion. It was part of the things the controller of the Correctional Service in River State mentioned, Felix Lawrence. He was talking about partnering other stakeholders to decongest the Port Harcourt Maximum Custodial Center. Now, he said we have over 4,000 inmates, and then over 400 of those are on death row. So, in what ways can a correctional facility be decongested, especially the Maximum Custodial Center in Port Harcourt?
There are a number of ways that can be done. First, you can determine those who shouldn't be there, persons who are awaiting a trial, who have not been convicted yet, and who find themselves incarcerated. You can decide to dispense with those ones and let them attend their trial from home, grant them bail.
Okay, so who is the person determining this? I want to know.
The court, of course. Under the Administration of Criminal Justice Law, the current criminal procedural law in the country, the act at the national level and the law at the states, specific magistrates or judges are assigned to jurisdictions where they can from time to time review the condition of detention and the persons who are there, and to determine whether there are needless detentions, in which case they can grant bail to those persons. So for cases of people who are facing trials, and you have a lot of them there in such facilities, those facilities ought not to be where they should be unless they are a threat if they are not attending court from prison. So where there is no such threat, they should be able to attend court from home. Another thing that is done is the power of clemency, whereby the chief judge can reduce situations, people who are sick, who are down with terminal diseases and such other severe conditions, can get some reprieve, and the judgments can be reduced or they are released depending on what the circumstance is. There are cases where the food staff in a non-custodial manner. In other words, instead of detaining them or keeping them in a prison, which is a custodial facility, they serve in a non-custodial manner in community services. For the period of their service, they are compelled or directed to perform certain community services which they can perform from their home. For crimes or offenses that are not very severe. So all of those approaches can be deployed, and the number of persons in custody can be reduced by that.
Now, I remember last year, that was around December, when the Rivers chief judge, he freed some people from the correctional centers, there was something some of the things he mentioned as factors leading to the congestion. He said non-filing of information on case files, wrong charges, lack of diligent prosecution. I actually need you to help me understand that, especially the part where he mentioned non-filing of information on case files. How come, how did the person get in there?
All of those instances again are for persons who are still standing trial, who have not been convicted.
Interesting.
You know?
Yes, yes.
We used to have very worrisome developments with some victims talked about on your station and other radio stations. Where mass arrests would be done and people would just be taken and dumped somewhere. those who can't meet the conditions they are given at the police station are eventually transferred to the prisons and they remain there. Nobody may even be aware that they are there.
Oh,
God. There are those who commit minor crimes who are also taken in, and because bail is not granted or bail is not asked for, or they do not have opportunity to do so, they end up in the custody of the prisons. In all of these cases, those people are persons who are still awaiting trial, persons who are facing trial. They are not persons who have been convicted. So in all of these cases, they will find a lot of opportunity for the kind of action that the chief judges take. And they have opportunity to do that, I think, every year. They have opportunity to do that. So leveraging on that power of clemency and God's delivery, the delivery which the chief judges conduct, in line with the committee for that is responsible for clemency. In line with the law, those who shouldn't be in prison can be released to attend their trials from their home. And those are some of the circumstances that the judge mentioned. There are other circumstances and other scenarios and situations that they warrant they're exercising that power. I mentioned earlier. Right. Those who are terminally ill and about to die can be given that opportunity to spend their last days at home. Those who are in serious health situations and whose cases are not too severe may have opportunity to go for treatment. And depending on their behavior and the character of the crime for which they are convicted, the chief judge can decide whether they should serve non-custodial punishment.
Okay.
And those whose offenses are minor and they are not a threat to society, such persons can be given non-custodial alternative punishment. And people can clean up health centers as a community service, assign them to clean up health centers in their areas every day for the period of their sentence. They will do that. Assign them to carry out some other responsibility and functions in society for the benefit of the society. They can do that where they are not a threat to society, where their offenses are minor offenses. So instead of crowding the custodial facility, all of these people can find things. So you can find things for them to do, alternative methods for them to serve out their period without being in custody.
All right. I must really thank you, Professor Richard Wokocha. Thank you for being on the show this evening.
Our duty.
All right. My name is Constance.